Welcome to episode 65 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. This week, I'm going to talk about what hyperfocal distance is and how to apply it practically in our photography, in response actually to a question that long-term listener and moderator on the Martin Bailey Photography Forum, Marissa Furpy, was kind enough to record for us using the MobileTalk comment system that you can find on the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com. First, though, let's listen to a greeting from Marissa before we move on to the main topic for today.
Hi, Martin. This is Marissa Furpy from Puerto Rico. I want to say hi to you and everybody. And I want to thank you for the podcast and the galleries. The galleries are great. I like being able to show my work and hearing comments about it. So thank you, and I hope everybody joins in to hear this wonderful teacher, Martin Bailey.
It was great to hear your voice, Marissa, for the first time after knowing you for so long in the forum. I would like to also prompt anyone else that might want to leave a message, a greeting, or also questions like the one that we're about to hear also from Marissa, but just by going to the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com and clicking on the applet, the MobileTalk applet on the right, to the right of the featured photo. So hopefully we'll get more greetings like this one. And also questions that I'll respond to as I did in the last episode and as I'm about to in this episode. Usually I'm thinking that they'll be a little bit shorter, but still, you know, the more questions we get, the more hopefully we'll be able to make this an interactive thing. I'm hopefully going to make it just like one questions and answers session a month. But if we get questions that are that take a good 15 or 20 minutes or so to answer, as this and last week's has done, then, you know, we'll maybe just take a whole episode as well. Let's play it by ear, but first I need the questions, so come on by and record something for me. That would be great.
Hi, Martin. I have a question about hyperfocal distance. Like, I've heard this term before, hyperfocal, and I have an idea of what it is, but I'd like to hear you explain what's the difference about a hyperfocal distance and just a plain regular focal distance. Thank you.
Okay, so great question, Marissa. As I say, it's great to hear you speaking after we've known you for so long in the forum. And, you know, thanks really very much for such a great question. I've actually been thinking about talking about this for a while, so right now seems to be the perfect timing. First, here's a quick explanation of what hyperfocal distance is, and then I'll move on to a more detailed explanation of how it is calculated, some tools that we can use in the field to look it up, and how to apply it practically into our photography. The hyperfocal distance is the distance at which a particular focal length and aperture combination can be focused at to render everything from half of that distance to infinity in focus. This is especially useful to know when we're shooting landscapes, for example, when we want sharp focus throughout the image, from the nearest to the furthest object, that is. Here's a couple of quick examples of focal length and aperture combinations and the resulting hyperfocal distance before we get into some more details. So first, if we shoot with a 50mm lens or a zoom lens set at 50mm at f16 aperture, the hyperfocal distance is 4.74 meters or 15.54 feet. That means if we focus on a point 15 and a half feet from our camera, everything from almost half that distance, or just under 8 feet, to infinity will be in focus. In metric, that would be a hyperfocal distance, as I said, of 4.74 meters to focus on, rendering everything from 2.37 meters to infinity in focus. The wider the lens, the closer the hyperfocal distance becomes. So here's another example. Let's use 28 millimeters this time. If we, again, at f16 and a focal length of 28 millimeters this time, do the calculation, what we'll find is that the hyperfocal distance is 1.5 meters, or what's that, almost 5 feet. If we focus at this point, everything from 4.5 feet or 0.75 meters to infinity will be in focus. So you can see that the wider the lens, or put another way, the shorter the focal length you're shooting at, the closer the hyperfocal distance and the near focus distance gets. We should also note that telephoto lenses are not really suited to shooting using the hyperfocal distance to get subjects from the foreground to infinity in focus, as the physics actually makes it impractical and even impossible to do this after certain focal lengths. For example, even if we go back to f16 for the aperture and then this time calculate the hyperfocal distance for 200 millimeters, the hyperfocal distance becomes 75 meters or 247 feet. This gives us a near focus even of 125 feet or 38 meters, which is really not good if we want the foreground subjects to be in focus. One thing that we cannot ignore when calculating the hyperfocal distance is the circle of confusion. Now, a detailed explanation of the circle of confusion would make this week's episode too long, but here's a relatively quick explanation. The size of the circle of confusion for any camera or film size, or sensor size that would be, is the size of the smallest spot that will show up as just a dot with no recognizable height or width when printed on paper of 8 by 10 inches and viewed from 2 to 3 feet away. So by a spot, I mean just a tiny little dot that you will not be able to make out as having any shape. If it was any bigger, for example, it would start to look like a tiny circle, and that's too big. Now, of course, if you print the same image at a larger size on larger paper than 8x10, or view it from closer or further away, then the results will change. And this is why there's so much debate over how to accurately calculate the circle of confusion. Of course, the spot is only attainable when sharply focused. As soon as the focus moves to something other than the spot, then it becomes slightly blurred. This is what gives us the bokeh, or the out-of-focus areas of an image. The circle of confusion becomes larger as it moves closer or further away from the film plane. Only parts of the image at exactly the point where the light converges are being focused on the film plane and are therefore sharp. I like to think of this as the spot of a magnifying glass. If you've ever taken a magnifying glass outside on a sunny day and dropped a piece of paper on the ground and then concentrated the light of the magnifying glass to burn the paper, then you'll know what I mean. When you place the magnifying glass over the paper initially, the spot of light will be large and faint. And if you're too far away, that is. But if you move the magnifying glass closer to the paper, the spot becomes smaller and brighter. And, you know, obviously what that is the light is becoming more concentrated. There'll be a point when the spot becomes the smallest it's going to be, and this is the point where the paper usually goes black and bursts into flames to the amazement of all your friends. But if you move the magnifying glass even closer to the paper, then the circle starts to get larger and fainter again. The point at which the spot is the smallest that it can be is the smallest circle of confusion for that magnifying glass. Everything outside of that is just varying degrees of bokeh, or the parts of your image that are out of focus. So, how big is the spot on a 35mm camera? Although it varies by equipment, common sizes that I've heard are between 0.025 to 0.030mm. Most schools of thought and many calculators use 0.30mm as the default setting for a 35mm film or full-size sensor DSLR. For digital cameras with a focal length multiplier of 1.6, 0.019mm is recommended, and for 1.5 times crop factor cameras, 0.020mm is recommended. There are actually there's quite an extensive table that I got these sizes from at dofmaster.com. An easy enough to remember URL, but I'll put a link in the show notes as a reminder. Remember that the size of the circle of confusion is based on an image being printed out at 8 by 10 inches and viewed from 2 to 3 feet. So it follows that if you intend to print out much larger, you would actually need to calculate your hyperfocal distances differently. But if you're going to start going down that route, you'll probably spend more time calculating your distances than actually shooting. I'd recommend just sticking with the sizes just mentioned above for the one, you know, the one for the camera that you use. And as I say, you can get that from dofmaster.com for your calculations. I'll talk in a moment about some useful tools to use as quick lookup guides in the field. But first, let's talk briefly about the actual calculation. Once you know the size of the circle of confusion that you want to work with, to calculate the hyperfocal distance, you have to divide the focal length to the power of 2 by the aperture multiplied by the diameter of the circle of confusion. So let's say we're going to be shooting at 35mm. 35 to the power of 2 is 1,225. If we're working with a circle of confusion of 0.30mm and the aperture of f16, we need to multiply 16 by 0.03, which gives us 0.48. Now, if we divide 1,225 by 0.48, we get 2,552 and some tiny fractions below the decimal point. As this is currently in millimeters, if we then divide 2,552 by 1,000, we get 2.55 meters, or 8.37 feet, which is the hyperfocal distance. Although this is not a difficult calculation if you have a calculator with you, in the field when you're out trying to get the shot, if you're going to, you know, shoot using the hyperfocal distance, then you really want something a little easier. I have actually recently bought a new cell phone, which is a Windows Pocket PC-based PDA. So I've installed a piece of software from a person called Jonathan Sachs, who has kindly made a number of incredibly useful applications for the Pocket PC, three of which I use a lot and would like to quickly mention are Ephemeris, which is a utility to tell you the phases of the moon and the sun and the moon rise and fall times based on the city you select from a pull-down. This is incredibly useful and not to mention fun to play with. Another is Expose, which is that lists exposures for you and like a guide based on various light sources. And the option of applying polarizers and neutral density filters and such. It also allows you to change the ISO and things like that as well. The aperture and shutter speed. So with the meters in cameras today, though, being so much better than they used to be, I don't think that I'd use this in the field so much. But again, it's fun to play with. Finally, the program that is really relevant for today's topic is DOF. As the name suggests, this is a depth of field calculator, but it also displays the hyperfocal distance and the near and far distances for any focal length and aperture combination. This also allows you to change the resolution, which I find is pretty much the same thing as the circle of confusion in this utility. The hyperfocal distance is a constant once you've selected your focal length and f-stop, but there's also a pull-down to set the distance at which you intend to focus. And the near and far focus distances are calculated from this. Once you set the focus distance to anything equal to or further than the hyperfocal distance, though, the far focus indicator just says infinity. I'll put a link to Jonathan's download page for these applications in the show notes too. There are other utilities that you can download from the page that are also really useful. One of the reasons I bought a Pocket PC-based telephone was because I wanted to use the DOF tool in the field. I also used it for the first time when shooting Mount Fuji with some flowers in the foreground that I wanted to also get in focus. In fact, let's just take a look at that shot today so that I can explain what I did. It's image number 1156. Basically, I wanted the pampas grass at the edge of the lake and as many of the flowers in the foreground in focus as possible. I don't like to stop down less than f16 as the image starts to soften up after that, so I dialed in 50mm into the focal length field and 16 into the f-stop field. I could then see that the hyperfocal distance was just over 4 meters. This means that if I focused on the pampas grass, which was actually about 5 meters or so from where I was standing, and actually I was going to be focusing at around 58 millimeters, it turned out. If I focused on the pampas grass, then that was obviously going to be in focus, but also everything from 2.25 meters to infinity was going to be in focus. So hopefully you can see the benefits of being able to calculate what the real hyperfocal distance and the nearest focus distance is going to be when you're in the field. If you don't have a PDA, then another option which was raised a while back in the martinbaileyphotography.com forum is a card that can be printed out by a piece of software available from doffmaster.com that we mentioned earlier. I'll put a link in the show notes as a reminder, but basically there are a few applications that make it easy to print out both depth of field charts and hyperfocal distance charts. These can be printed on card or paper that you might want to laminate to stop them from getting all messed up in your camera bag. And although I've not tried them myself, I'm sure that they make it very much easier to look up the options in the field. So you can change the parameters as well, like the size of the circle of confusion and the widest and smallest apertures and shortest and longest focal lengths, among others. I'm sure this is going to be much easier than actually sitting there with a calculator and using the formula that I gave earlier to calculate this in the field. Of course, you're not always going to have the subject that you want to focus on. So although I actually moved back from the scene that I shot of Mount Fuji with the flowers in the foreground, that was how I got my 5 meters or so in this situation. But you're not always going to have something like the pampas that you want to focus on. So most lenses have a legend or a scale on them that you can actually, you can look at and see how many feet or meters your lens is being focused on. So what you can do is just, you look up your hyperfocal distance and then set the lens to that distance and forget about the focus for the rest of the scene, for the rest of the time you're shooting that scene. In fact, even if you can roughly guess your focusing distances, I'd suggest that you check the scale on your lens to make sure that it's accurate. And remember to switch your lens or camera to manual focus mode, or when you press the shutter button, it will refocus on something in the scene, likely moving the focus away from the hyperfocal distance point at which you have manually focused. Another thing that I'd just like to re-stress, I mentioned this earlier, but I'd just like to go over again because I think it might be a little bit confusing, is that the hyperfocal distance is not the nearest part of the image that is in focus. Half of the hyperfocal distance, it's actually a slightly more complicated calculation, but basically, if you remember that half of the hyperfocal distance is the nearest point from which the image is going to be in focus, then you know that you won't go far wrong. So you know, if you have a hyperfocal distance of 10 meters or 30 feet or whatever, then 5 meters or 15 feet is going to be the closest part of the image that is going to be in focus, and everything from there outwards, way past the hyperfocal point, is obviously going to be in focus as well. So that's about it for today. Again, it's been quite a technical podcast with lots of numbers and calculations to follow. Remember that I'm currently considering making Adobe Acrobat PDF transcripts of the episodes available for a nominal fee of $3.99 each, and there'll be discounts for 5 and 10 download credits. You would be totally in control of which episodes you bought, and I'm thinking that the transcripts for more technical episodes like this one, or the understanding MTF charts or exposure technique episodes, for example, would be more useful. I'm not thinking that every episode would be useful to actually have in a format that you could print out or read on screen. I'm not going to invest my time and money in creating these, though, if you, the listeners, don't want them. So I started a poll in the forum a few weeks back to gather your feedback. If you have an opinion on this, please do go to the thread and cast your vote, and also leave some feedback if you have any. Thanks very much for all of the valued feedback that people have left already, and for the votes. But I'd like more opinions before I make up my mind on whether to invest in this venture. I'll put a link directly to the poll in the show notes. If you really don't want to register, though, in the forum so that you could vote or leave feedback, then you can contact me to provide feedback on this or any other topic via the contact form that you can find linked from the menu at martinbaileyphotography.com, or email me at info@martinbaileyphotography.com. So that really is it for this week. I hope you have a great week, whether you're out shooting or whatever you do. Bye-bye.
The days grow shorter, the weather gets colder, and our hearts are once more filled with warmth. And again, as every year, thousands and thousands of digital cameras will find their way under the Christmas trees. But many of those little cameras are very, very sad, because they will only be used for the simplest of snapshots, even though they are capable of doing so much more. In order to change that...
Wait, hold on a second. Hold, stop it. Can't you see? I just don't have the time to record any promos right now. I mean, just listen, I'm working hard on getting this event calendar done for the listeners, and it has to be finished by December the 1st. Now, look, I've got 24 doors to fill with content. Let me show you. Come on, open up. See, it's a tough job. Okay, now, please excuse me, I've got more work to do here.
24 tips for your digital photography, starting December 1st at tipsfromthetopfloor.com. The podcast about all things digital photography.